Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, Circle members. What a full week it has been. Not only did we have our May Circle Zoom call 3 days ago, which is Tuesday, but today, May 28th, Friday, is my solar return. It is my birthday today, and I had intended to get this episode out to you the day that I recorded it, but if you've been following what's going on Instagram, we are dealing with having to make the very difficult decision to put our dog, Betsy, to sleep. Betsy is our 14-year-old Boston Terrier Chihuahua. We've had her for 11 years, and she has just been the best dog. She's like the second mother in our family. Like, she mothers me, and she helps me raise my children. So it's been a difficult week for us, just knowing that the days that we have with her are very numbered and limited. And yeah, it's been tough. So after I had this conversation with astrologer Tammy Antoinette, my intention was to publish it to the bonus, to the membership area that day. And the day just got away from me. And now I've just been dealing sort of with planning a memorial service for my dog and getting everything ready for that. So I apologize that I didn't publish this episode 3 days ago when I recorded it, but it's not going to change anything. In this episode, just for you, Tammy and I are talking about all of the crazy energy that's been happening with the solar storms, eclipse season, the full moon, and the Mercury retrograde, which we are currently in the shadow phase of retrograde. And I used to fear Mercury retrogrades, but I don't anymore. And a lot of that is because I've started working with Tammy, and she has reaffirmed to me that no matter what's happening in the sky, the universe is wise and loving, and everything is exactly as it should be, and everything is working out. So please enjoy this episode. We recorded this as the precursor to the public episode, which is the summer solstice episode. So every season, every solstice and equinox, Tammy comes on and gives us her predictions and insights for that season. So the episode about the summer solstice will air on June 20th, but you guys get this exclusive precursor to that conversation, which we recorded just for you. And I hope if you have been feeling crazy energies since about the 11th or 12th of May, I hope that this gives you a little bit of insight as to why, and that the universe is wise and loving and everything is working out. So enjoy. Hey, Tammy, welcome to the Trauma Healer Circle.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm happy to be here with you today.
I know. I'm so happy to be here with you. I always love chatting with you. So here in a second, we're going to record an interview where you're going to be giving us the solstice through fall equinox predictions, what's happening in the sky, what your insights are, how we can heal, how we can move through these energies in this next season. But first, I wanted to chat with you about what's been going on just energetically for the last, I'm going to say, 2 weeks. It kind of started on May 11th for me. Like, I had been, before May 11th, I had been going through just like about a week of really creative, productive flow. Like, I started writing a workshop that I was going to teach on Zoom, and mm-hmm. I ended up creating so much content that I was like, this is way too much for a 1 or 2 hour workshop. I have to turn this into a course. And within a week, I had written out everything for a course, and it just flowed and came together so easily. Like, it was honestly divine how quickly and easily it flowed. And I'm still working out the technological aspects of it, but the informational aspects of it are done and in. And then on May 11th or 12th, I woke up and it was like that creative flow was gone. And I was like looking at the calendar, like, what part of my cycle am I in? What is going on? And I couldn't really figure anything out, but I just felt really brain foggy and spacey. And like I had a list written down, like a to-do list, but for whatever reason, I couldn't find the motivation to do any of it. It was like, for whatever reason, there was something standing in the way of me doing each one of those things. And by trying to do them, it felt very forced, like it wasn't flowing. And I was like, this is so interesting. This is so interesting. So that lasted for the whole day. The next day, same thing. And I texted my husband and I was like, I cannot get anything done. Like for the life of me, I feel like my thoughts are a herd of turtles stampeding through peanut butter. That's how I felt like my thoughts were. And he was like, yeah, me too. And I didn't sleep good last night and I feel really spacey and I don't know what's going on, but I'm feeling really strong energies. And then 2 hours later, he sends me a text of a link where it was like these geomagnetic storms were like spiking off the charts. So then I went down the rabbit hole of what geomagnetic storms do energetically to us. And so here's what I learned, that a class 3 geomagnetic storm began on May 12th, 2021, and that solar storms affect both technology and living organisms. So they have an impact on radio communication, GPS technology, but they also impact living organisms physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because during solar storms, masses of luminous energy, which that's your word, lumina, that's your word, isn't it?
I love that word.
I know you do. Masses of luminous energy infiltrate Earth's atmosphere, and absorbing it may feel overstimulating. People might notice that they're more sensitive to the energies of others. If people seem extra irritable, emotional, fatigued, spacey, or stressed, it may be due to the solar storm. Solar storms are believed to directly impact our nervous systems, causing us to feel more edgy or cautious or agitated or fight flight without knowing why. Everything might seem louder, brighter, stronger, and just more intense. And then there's like symptoms, which I hate using the word symptoms, but for lack of a better word, they're like difficulty focusing and brain fog, intense hunger or thirst, insomnia, disturbed sleep, vivid dreams or nightmares, random bouts of irritability, anger, worry, grief, enhanced intuition, ringing in the ears, forgetfulness, seeing flashes of light or orbs, feeling panicky or stressed without a clear reason, having headaches or migraines, noticing a lot of synchronicities, feeling like all of life is connected, being sensitive to others' energies, or wanting to be alone. And definitely starting on that like May 11th, 12th window and ongoing, I have been seeing repeating numbers like everywhere. It's every day on the clock. I catch 10:10, 11:11, 1:1, 1:11, 2:22, 4:44, 5:55, like every single day. And I've also just been like having a lot of downloads coming through whenever I'm journaling, just a lot of realizations about myself, about other people, about situations in my life, things that aren't important feel like they're just falling away, and things that are important feel like they're rising up. Definitely wanting to be alone. And since that May 11th, 12th window, when the geomagnetic storm was so crazy, I've also been like sleeping really well, which is unusual for me. So then here we are today on May 25th. So this has been happening in the 2 weeks leading up to today. And we've just entered Gemini season. And according to tropical astrology, I'm a Gemini sun and we're in Gemini season. We have a full moon and an eclipse coming up tomorrow, and we're in the shadow phase of a Mercury retrograde at this moment. So I'm just curious if you, over the last couple of weeks, have had any increase in what I just described, or just noticing like energies being really strong, shifting, lots of downloads. What's been going on for you?
Yeah, there's definitely, we've been feeling a lot of changes lately. And at the time that this began with the solar flares. Solar flares they're unpredictable. A mathematical astrological chart cannot predict solar flares We can only predict this by looking at the real sky. And at that time, we had a dark, invisible moon, which is the moon with the sun, intensifying the effects of the sun. And Uranus was there with them. So Uranus can bring about shocking changes, and Uranus rules electricity. We can feel these sensations running through our body, and like things can change on a dime. But it's also the planet of evolution. It's evolutionary change. And this all happened at the very last degree of Aries in the real sky. I use the side real sky, which is what we use in ancient astrology. So this is based on the real sky that we actually look up and we see with our own eyes, not the tropical mainstream sky that we're used to, that most people are used to. But so anyway, and at that very last degree of Aries, it's the ancients called it like the degree of drowning, like really unexpected circumstances can happen as far as in the weather, in the sky, affecting us here on Earth. So it could be solar flares, or it could be floods or hurricanes or whatever it may be. But being an Aries, this makes the sun really strong, being an Aries. So we're going to feel those effects even more intensely. And whenever we do feel this, we don't feel like being so creative. Maybe things have been, we're in a state of feeling withdrawn. Then it is a time to go within. It's not a time to, especially during a black moon, a dark moon, before we see that first lunar crescent in the sky again. It is a time to just keep to ourselves a bit and not make any big changes and not really go ahead with new endeavors or anything yet, but a time to just not really a time to do much. The ancients didn't do much at all whenever there was a black moon. And this is also stated in the Bible when they talk about the 3 days of darkness. That's the dark moon period, is the 3 days of darkness, the 3 days of dark moon.
So was the new moon on that May 11th, 12th? Was that the day of the new moon? Okay.
That was the dark moon, and the new moon, I think, showed up on the 12th, the evening of the 12th.
Yeah. And the 12th
is when the new moon showed up.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. We saw the
first lunar crescent on the 12th. And it was conjunct Mercury and Venus in the sky too. And with a visible Mercury and with the North Node. So whenever the new lunar crescent showed up, it was with this whole stellium in Taurus with the North Node of the moon, visible Venus, which is very rare. Mercury. It's very rare to have Mercury visible in the sky. Mercury is only visible about 10 to 12% of the time. And it rules our mind, our intellect, our thinking, our communication. So a lot of people aren't used to having the effects of visible Mercury, especially since it is only visible a small percentage of the time. That means most people were born with Mercury invisible. Most people don't have aren't able to use their mind and their communication to the fullest capacity. But there is that 10% who are. So that's something to think about. But it can feel overwhelming to have all of that activated in the sky at once.
Yeah. So yeah. I know we can't predict solar storms with astrology, but I'm curious if during the last 2 week period, if you've experienced any of the things that I've experienced as far as just like maybe feeling more intense, like being more sensitive to energy, synchronicities, repeating numbers, ringing in your ears, disturbed sleep or better sleep. Because I reached out on Instagram and I was doing it on May 12th. So the solar storm was like happening that day. And I gave people information about it. And then I was like, are you feeling these things too? And I probably got 20 responses where people were just like, yes, yesterday I had 10 panic attacks
during the day and I haven't had a panic attack in years, or I've had a migraine from hell for 2 days, or just so many people were like, yes, all of these weird things are going on and this now makes so much sense. So what was going on for you, if you can remember, during that time or since?
For me, I always do a detox, a cleanse during the black moon, because that's what works for me. After that, I always feel clear and with heightened intuition. But I was feeling, I was feeling overly excitable. I think that would be the word for it. Just high energy. I haven't had problems sleeping, but I was having bouts of tiredness sometimes in the last 2 weeks, maybe for a full day or just a couple of hours, and I would need a nap. So it was like that up and down. And thankfully I'm able to honor that. And I'm usually able to take a nap when I need to. So that's really helpful if your schedule can allow the fluctuating energies to really honor that and help your body to reset whenever you need to take some time to yourself or go outside and go for a walk. That can help too. Get out in nature.
Yeah, nature is always the best place to be. Have you experienced any more than usual synchronicities or repeating numbers? Or is that something you experience all
the time? That's something regular for me. I kept seeing my birthday on license plates during that time. Actually, now that you mention it, whenever someone buys a new car and they have that paper license plate for a month or two.
Yeah.
I saw 3 of them with my birthday on them.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So my birthday was just a few days ago, May 22nd.
Oh,
so,
happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I did notice that.
Interesting.
So
Well, my birthday is on Friday, the 28th. So,
oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, just a second ago, you alluded to using the ancient astrology versus modern astrology, which is like tropical astrology. So that is something that I don't really understand. So for my circle members who are listening, in tropical astrology, which is modern astrology, so like most of the astrology websites like Cafe Astrology that people will visit, that is using tropical astrology. And so in tropical astrology, I am a Gemini sun, a Sagittarius moon, and a Pisces ascendant. But you just blew my mind by telling me that in ancient astrology, I am a Taurus sun, a Scorpio moon, and an Aquarius rising.
Absolutely.
So now I'm all sorts of confused.
So a little bit about that is that the ancient astrologers always use the real sky, like what we can actually go outside and we look at the stars and what we see with our own eyes. And in the tropical mainstream astrology, they're using the tropical sky, which means every spring equinox, they say they start at 0 degrees Aries. But the difference is the zodiac actually moves. The spring equinox moves a degree every 72 years. So right now, the spring equinox is not at 0 degrees Aries, it's at 5 degrees Pisces. The ancients did use the tropical zodiac for farming and planting and to keep track of the seasons. But, and it's a mainstream way to use astrology, and it can work too, but there's just different layers.
So you're telling me that the tropical astrology or the modern astrology, like when you say I'm a Gemini sun, that's more like personality and like characteristics about people versus what's really happening for them astrologically. Am I understanding that right?
So in tropical astrology, it is more, since it's more based on the seasons, then it is more earth-based and it's more psychological-based. So it's based on your psychology. And the sidereal, the real sky, is, it shows like who you are at a deeper level.
Okay. So if I wanted to go research this, would I need to Google like real sky Taurus? Is that how I would find what I'm looking for?
You would say, so the zodiac that I use is a side reel.
Like S-I-D-E-R-E-A-L or?
R-E-A-L.
Side reel. Okay.
Yeah. We're using the site. So if you go to astro.com, for example, and you pull up a chart, you go to the extended chart selection, you can choose the house system to be tropical or side reel.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And the default, it defaults to tropical.
Okay.
Because most Americans use this zodiac. And in America, we use the mainstream. So,
except
you. I don't. I have before in the past, but I like this one better.
How would I go about finding like different? I love those infographics on Instagram where it like tells you the sign and then it has a list of like things about you. Is there something like that for side reel ancient astrology?
It can be interpreted similarly, but it goes a little deeper. Like, for example, Libra, they say Libra is all about balance, but actually Libra is the artist. You see how that can go deeper? Mm-hmm. Balance would be the psychological aspect. And then the artist is deeper, like who you are at a soul level.
So who is the Taurus sun at a soul level?
The Taurus sun is this would be the most earthy sign of the zodiac. Taurus, there's different, for example, there are different constellations within the constellation of Taurus. So there's the Pleiades, there's Perseus, there's also the fixed star Aldebaran and Capella, which are stars of power and money. It depends on where in Taurus. Ancient astrology pinpoints down to the individual degrees based
on. So I remember from the first reading you did for me that I come from the star Aldebaran. Is that right?
Let me look. I don't remember actually.
I didn't know the Pleiades were in Taurus.
Your sun is about 4 degrees away from Aldebaran. So not exactly. Your sun is actually in the constellation of Perseus, which is he's the god who cut off the head of Medusa. he's a very, very unfearing energy and very strong, powerful, and without fear. And he gets, if there's something that needs to be done, he gets it done.
That's me.
Yeah. Regardless, like fear is not an issue. He's going to do what needs to get done regardless.
Yeah. Fear has traditionally been an issue for me, but through healing, it has become less and less of an issue. And now when I'm confronted with fear, more often than not, I throw it the middle finger and I'm like, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally. I definitely have a Medusa who I would symbolically like to cut their head off right now. Mm-hmm. My circle knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I understand.
I definitely have more research that I want to do into, because if you say that in real astrology, I am a Taurus sun, then for me, honestly, from an egoic perspective, I'll just totally acknowledge that this is my ego. Like that tears down all of this pride that I had in being a Gemini sun.
You know what? The north node of the moon and Venus are both in Gemini when you're born. So you do have, we all have all parts of the zodiac within us. We have the entire cosmos inside of us. But what are we playing out more of, and what's in this lifetime in different areas of our lives? So for example, the north node of the moon at 0 degrees Gemini, that's the most pure point of Gemini. And that's actually your purpose in this lifetime. You're going towards your north node, which is in Gemini. So you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're communicating, you're speaking, you're writing, you're on the internet, you've got your social circles, your immediate environment, your peers. These are all very important to you. Whereas if you looked at it from a tropical mainstream perspective, it would say that your North Node is in Cancer and you should be staying home and taking care of the kids. And
which I have done for the last 17 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But your North Node is, it also represents where you haven't been and what you may feel more uncomfortable with, because it's untrodden territory for you. And so we usually go into our North Node more in the second part of our life. In our 30s, we'll start going into our North Node, actually. Whereas our South Node is what we're used to, our past lives, where we've been, what we're good at, our innate talents. And for you, that was in Sagittarius, which is your beliefs, religion, really sticking to that. Like, what do I believe?
Yeah. I just have one more question for you for the circle, and then we'll go into the general public podcast and we'll talk about the solstice to the equinox. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right. So we are currently, as of May 25th, when we're recording this, we are in a shadow of a Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
How's it feeling for you?
You know what? Mercury is such a benevolent planet that the Mercury retrograde effects they do affect us on a surface level with little communication issues, and things that we haven't communicated can start coming up to be addressed and things like that. But it's not what's more important to look at. I know the modern astrologers talk about the Mercury retrograde and how it's just, we got to watch out for that time. But Mercury is not, it's benevolent no matter which way he's going. We got to watch out for more of is when Mercury is invisible in the sky. And that can actually cause more of a problem, because all of the mercurial things are just cut off. Our thinking isn't great anymore, right?
Which, you said that Mercury is invisible 88% of the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It actually wasn't until I started working with you that my mindset about Mercury retrograde shifted. You were the one who taught me that Mercury is beneficial, and also Mercury is really prominent in my chart. So it doesn't really serve a purpose for me to have this like bad attitude towards Mercury. And Mercury is like, benefits me as far as I'm a really good communicator. I'm good at making videos. I'm really good at talking to people. I'm good at facilitating conversations. Like, I'm not great at technology, but I have a husband for that. But yeah, I actually, the Mercury retrogrades that have occurred, which I think there have been two since I started working with you, have been completely different for me than in years past. Because in years past, I would block the dates off on my calendar and I would be like, okay, we're not making any plans. We're not going to buy anything big. No, like no major purchases, no traveling, no booking plane rides, like nothing like that. We're just going to stay home and hunker down and hope the internet holds out. That's how I was before with Mercury retrograde. And now I'm finding, now that we're in this shadow phase of Mercury retrograde, it actually feels, for me, it's been really positive energy and it's been really uplifting and it has felt beneficial. So that's, I wanted to share that you had helped me make that shift. And so thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah. And this whole, everybody's scared of Mercury retrograde. It shouldn't be a thing. We do want to think about maybe crossing our T's and dotting our I's a little, going over things a little more thoroughly, maybe leaving a little bit early or allowing more time for something, but it's really not so detrimental.
Yeah, for sure. My internet like has cut out once a day since the shadow started. So I won't say that there's no negative effects. There's definitely some effects, but it's not all crazy and bad.
Yeah, it is a time for, so these little information and communication and technical glitches that we have, they are signs to say, hey, maybe it's time for you to take a break and kind of go within and maybe do some like writing with a pencil and a paper, maybe some journaling or something. That's a great time for Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. I do want to say, I'll say this in the public episode as well, but since the last time I had you on the podcast at the spring equinox, I've listened to that episode again. I listened to it in the middle of this season. Mm-hmm. And when I reheard you saying that it was a good time to be journaling, I picked up my journaling habit again. And that has been where like the majority of both the inspiration and creativity that I've been feeling, like it's been flowing out as I'm writing with my pen. But then also I've been releasing a lot of anger. Like I've had a lot of anger coming out of my pen, and sometimes to the point where I can't even write fast enough. And I just take the pen and scribble all over the page, like really quickly, because the energy of anger is just so strong. And so I took your advice to journal, and sure enough, like so much healing came, so much inspiration, so much creativity, so much alignment. So I'm going to share that in the public episode as well, but I wanted the circle members to listen to it. Like everyone, please listen to what Tammy says. And if she says it's a good time to journal, pick up your GD pens and start writing.
Yep.
Okay. Should we record a general public episode for everyone else?
Yeah. If you feel like you're ready for that.
Yeah, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. All right. Circle members, we'll see you on the other side.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah. Thanks, Tammy.